Welcome to Observations. We're here with the normal cast of characters with Kirk and Scott. Hey, fellas, you know, I read in the news yesterday that the United States Air Force, you know, this was the Air Force that committed something in the range of $400 billion to create the ultimate camel, which is the F-35, you know, the Joint Strike Fighter that one aircraft can serve all of the U.S. military branches, and in fact, it doesn't work for anyone. That aircraft that it doesn't have a foe to target and isn't even remotely combat ready, and has become the biggest boondoggle probably in military history. And that's saying something considering how much money we spent for the B-2, and I guess we have about a dozen of them. But they just announced they're spending $12 billion to remake the F-15. Now, why would you need to remake the F-15 if you weren't concerned that the F-35 was a complete boondoggle and fiasco, and that your pilots will have nothing to fly, and therefore, if they have nothing to fly, you won't need an Air Force?
That's right.
And then you won't have all the money that we
need. Yeah, that's right. What in the world? And, of course, this is after the U.S. Army announced that they misappropriated $6 trillion.
Yes.
Man, I wish they had misappropriated that money.
God, it's too bad that the Kaepernicker isn't taking a knee on behalf of the wasteful spending of the U.S. military. And everybody's having a conniption fit that he won't stand for the national anthem because it shows no respect to the sacrifice made by the men and women in uniform who have kept us free. And you just go, oh, my God, gag me. I mean, this is a institution, the U.S. military, that rapes women and doesn't hold the men accountable, that squanders the national treasury, that has been used consistently to make bad situations worse, and is the least free in the country. And, well, now they're admitting that their new technology doesn't work, so why not to spend another $12 billion? Hey, you know, there's another thing that struck me in the news. Mother Teresa.
Yeah.
She is now a saint.
Saint,
you know, she is the only saint, and the Roman Catholic Church has got 10,000 saints, so who in the hell knows? But she may be the only saint upon whom an exorcism was performed. Did you know that?
I did not know that.
Mother Teresa.
I heard that, but I didn't know that for me.
Yeah, oh, absolutely. She's the only. She's the only saint upon whom, not who performed an exorcism, upon whom an exorcism was performed.
Performed on.
Yeah.
Who did they exorcise?
Well, you know, all of the...
goat, right?
Yeah, well, the truth about Mother Teresa is that she was a B.I., you can finish the word with a capital B. She was absolutely a horrible person. She routinely criticized the Roman Catholic Church, saying, you know, I don't believe any of this stuff, and saw to it that those under her care were kept under her care by maintaining their poverty. But, you know, the Roman Catholic Church, their standard is that somebody who is holy. You know, I was translating a passage in Yeshaya Isaiah 53, because it's the passage that explains how the test that Abraham performed and met would be fulfilled by Yahweh on Mount Moriah. So it was dealing with Yeshaya 53. And one of the words, and it's used twice, is holy. I didn't know there was a Hebrew word holy. I hadn't been paying attention. You know what holy means in Hebrew?
If they're trying to stay set apart.
No. That's Kodesh. That's what Kodesh
is. I'm sorry.
Kodesh is set apart. Yeah. No, there's actually a Hebrew word, holy.
Oh, yeah?
Uh-huh.
I must have.
Yeah, is not a Hebrew word that means holy.
Oh, okay.
It's a Hebrew word that that is pronounced
holy.
H-O-L-Y.
Really?
Yeah. It means perverse, perverted, twisted, diseased. Profane. That's what it means.
Oh,
it is it's a word that is used in conjunction with Shoah, which is deceitful, corrupt, It's used in connection with awon, which is perverted and twisted, untrue, wrong. It's used in conjunction with raw. So it's blended in the midst of these things, and it's is a Hebrew word, holy, and come to find out, it means perverse, profane, disgusting, infected, diseased, wounded, and wrong.
It's the most accurate use of the word yet.
It is indeed. So I can most assuredly say that Yahweh does not have a Holy Spirit.
No.
And that the Holy Ghost of Roman Catholicism is the same as the Lord of Roman Catholicism. We are dealing with Satan. That's a lovely. It is a lovely world out there. You know, one of the things I did not previously mention. We did a show. I think it was a Shabbat show on Yada 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 Radio, where the was in Turkey was being undertaken during the show, and somebody said, you know, what do you think about this this coup in Turkey? They've you know, that what's going to be the outcome of it? And, you know, immediately I said, listen, I haven't read anything on the coup, but I can tell you that if there's a coup taking place in Turkey, that it and if it's genuine, it has zero chance to prevail, because Turks have become fundamentalists. There's the overwhelming preponderance of Turks now are like their leader and like their country. They have become a fundamentalist Islamic regime. And so there is no way for a secularist in the military to perpetrate a coup there. It's very much like Egypt. You know, there was the secular influence of the military in both Egypt and in Turkey empowered secular dictators in those countries. Saddam Hussein was a secular dictator empowered by the military. But in Turkey has been taken so far down the road of a fundamentalist Islamic state that my reaction was there's a 0% chance that a coup, if that is in fact what is occurring, would prevail. And it's so impossible for a coup to prevail there now, considering the preponderance of Turks that are fundamentalist Muslims, there is nobody in their right mind as a general that would even suggest one. Now, what that means is, since there is no general that would risk their career and their lives, their freedom, to try to create a coup to take Turkey away from the fundamentalist country it's become, where there is no secular freedom.
Without a ruler.
Yeah, I said, since there's no chance that anybody would be that stupid in Turkey as a secularist. I said, that begs the question, who's the actual perpetrator of the coup? And it became obvious immediately thereafter that it was Erdogan perpetrating his own coup for the express purpose of rounding up tens of thousands of teachers, the rest of the media, all the rest of the bureaucrats and generals, so that he is a de facto dictator. And what is the first thing that Erdogan did once he cleaned house? He invaded Syria. Now, he said, I'm invading Syria to go after the Islamic State. And, oh, by the way, also to get those dastardly Kurds off our border.
That was the biggie first.
And that was the only reason he did it. And so here's the United States arming and equipping and fighting with the Kurds in Syria.
Okay.
And we're arming and fighting with the Turks as part of NATO. Mm-hmm. And the Turks are fighting the Kurds.
Yeah, and giving both of them the guns to do it with.
we're arming both the Turks and the Kurds, and they're at war with each other.
Mm-hmm. Why don't we give them those airplanes, the Edsel airplane that we just built?
Yeah, why don't we give them the F-35? Oh, my goodness. We are in a world now that is just hard to imagine. There was a diagram that somebody sent me the other day of the various factions in the Syrian multiplicitous war. You can't even call it a civil war. There's nothing civil about it, but it's not like there are an indigenous group of people that decided to rise up against another indigenous group of people. The Syrian conflict has nothing to do with any of that. It's all a derivative of the United States invading Iraq and giving Iraq to Iran. and changing the balance of power, and then giving the Iranians in Iraq an army, which they used to start massacring Sunnis, and then the Sunnis and the Petraeus and Bush Awakening program simply used the weapons that we were supplying them to defend themselves against the weapons that were being foisted at them that we had given to the Shias. And the Shias turned out to be hot air. And the Sunnis, with marginal weapons, much less formidable weapons, routed the Shias that we had trained. So those we didn't train were much more effective fighters than those we had trained. And they were more effective with primitive weapons than they than the ones we had trained with sophisticated weapons, and they whooped them.
Yeah.
And they ended up with all
the ones we trained didn't even keep their clothes.
They didn't keep their clothes, much less their weapons. And so the Islamic State gained all of them, and that was the birth of the Islamic State. So you've got the Islamic State. You had al-Nusra, which was a product of Saudi Arabia and Qatar, for the express purpose of trying to undo what America had done, which had artificially elevate the influence of Shia Islam. And then you had Hezbollah, which was the militia of Iran, stationed both in Syria and in Lebanon, being used to support their puppet, which is Assad. And so you've got all of those factors. So you've got a Shiite and now two Sunni militias. And then you have the Kurds, who for the first time now actually have their own country. And they're all fighting each other. And then you've got Assad and his military. And then the Soviets, the Americans, not the Soviets, but the Russians, the Americans, all together in one big happy war. And I don't think anybody is on anybody's side. Well, of course, America, though, has the freedom. Yeah, it has the Free Syrian Army. Yeah, we've twice disbanded our multi-billion-dollar training program because each time that we've launched it, we were able to track one surviving soldier and no weapons. So. I don't know how a country could be anywhere.
You
can't make this stuff up. You mean when you look at who's fighting whom and who's supporting whom in Syria? You know, they had an interview 3 or 4 days ago. It was with Gary Johnson, who's the Libertarian candidate for president, and they asked him, say, well, what would you do about the Aleppo crisis? And he said, what's Aleppo? And now, if he had said, what's Aleppo, and why is Aleppo of importance to me, and saying that, you know, as a libertarian, we are not interested in fighting other people's wars, because literally, in Aleppo, we've made everything worse. If he had said it that way, you know, what's Aleppo? Why are you even asking about Aleppo? Aren't we talking about an American election? Don't we have things we need to fix in America? But he didn't. He didn't even know what Aleppo was. And he said, you know, what's Aleppo? And the interviewer said, you're kidding, right? He says, no, I don't know what Aleppo is. And, you know, it's the largest city. It was the largest city in Syria. It's now nothing but a heap of ruins. But it reminds me of what we have done collectively to Aleppo and Homs is utterly destroy them. It's like Fallujah in Iraq. It no longer exists.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if you've seen pictures of it, but it's far worse than anything you'd ever witness in any of the cities in Germany or in Japan that we firebombed.
Yeah.
Well, it's nothing but heaps of rubble.
Yeah. Yeah. Is there anything left in Aleppo?
No. And you'd say...
I mean, because they said the other day Syria had taken over Aleppo, and I was thinking, well, what was there left to take over? I mean, you just want to stick your flag on top of the rubble?
Nothing. And there's this myth that somehow the Islamic State needs to be defeated in Aleppo. And Aleppo is al-Nusra.
No.
and there's nothing to it. I mean, nothing left.
That's what I mean. It's
So I guess the solution to the problems in the Middle East is what I've said for a long time.
Years
I've said there's for years and years and years. There's the the solution that we're pursuing, which is no solution at all, but I said, you know, it will resolve the problem, but at a cost that's unimaginable, which is you just destroy, you kill everybody. You just kill everybody, you bomb them back into the Stone Age, and you destroy all forms of life, and you'll prevail that way. You know, so if you want to use the military to turn the entire countries into rubble.
The wasteland.
Yeah, then you will solve the infighting, and they won't be exporting terrorists, and so all you have to do is kill everybody. I said, now,
yeah,
since
they might just decide to move somewhere else, which they will.
Well, which, they, of course, they have, millions
they
of
do.
Them.
Yeah.
But I said, since that's unacceptable and immoral to take that approach, the only approach that actually works is to quarantine.
Mm-hmm.
Don't invade. Don't stir up the hornet's nest. Don't bomb them, making them madder. Don't take them in as refugees. Ignore them. Stop sending them weapons. There is no Syrian war. There's no civil war in Iraq. There is no genocide of the Christians.
No.
If we're not supplying weapons. You know, stop supplying weapons. Stop buying their oil. Quarantine them, and the whole problem goes away. But there's nobody saying that. And it was so sad to see Gary Johnson with the what's Aleppo, and then no retort beyond that, no ability to say, I said, what's Aleppo, because we ought not be concerned about it.
Yeah. So the solution is to blow it all up and bring all the refugees to your house. I don't think Yahweh would take that approach.
No, he's set apart. By the way, speaking of holy, and that's what the Mother Teresa was supposed to be, and she's a perfect example of what it means to be holy in Hebrew. That a person is beautified if they have performed at least one miracle. And, of course, there's not a single Roman Catholic has ever performed a miracle. But that it's someone that a Roman Catholic can pray to that can intercede with God,
right,
on another person's behalf. Now, I'm only aware of one person that Yahweh said serves to intercede on our behalf. And that is Yosha, who is actually a diminished manifestation of Yahweh.
Mm-hmm.
And he does say that Yosha intercedes on our behalf. He says it throughout the Isaiah 53, for example. But what do you think that the odds are that a person upon whom an exorcism was performed is in heaven, A, and B, is interceding on behalf of anyone? Yeah.
Don't happen.
Yeah, I've got a neighbor here that's got a little statue of Mary in the front yard, and you wonder, what in the world are you all thinking? God, how could you be that stupid? I was drove to lunch with my wife, and three doors down, there was a woman wearing a hijab that walked into one of the house. Of course, it's Friday prayer, so they were all gathering for prayers in the house, and you say, you know, you can't be that stupid, really. I mean, are you wearing this because if you don't wear it, your husband will beat the living crap out of you? Are you wearing this because you were born a Muslim and you were never thoughtful enough to ever examine the Quran and Hadith? You don't recognize that Muhammad was a pedophile and a rapist and a terrorist? Or do you know all of that? And you're so goddamn immoral that you want to convince other people to be as perverted as you are.
Well, yeah, obviously they're going to take their children to the same place. So, I mean, parents corrupt the children. I mean, they just, no matter how she answers it, that's what they do.
That is what they do. So, it's been a rough week.
Horror.
It's been a rough week for the news. I read even today that Trump is being heralded as a bad boy because he criticized U.S. policy on Russian television. Now, he was criticizing U.S. policy in Iraq. Now, my guess is that his position on Iraq is we should have stayed there with our military and continued to lose lives that way, and Iraq would have been better if we had continued with the surge, which is the opposite of what's true.
Or the end result being what?
But you think that the Russians aren't aware? You think there's anyone in the world that's not aware that American policy in Iraq was immoral, counterproductive, dishonest, deadly? I mean, do you think there's anyone outside of the realm of the patriotic and indoctrinated in America that aren't aware that everything America did in Iraq was disingenuous, deadly, deceitful, destructive, counterproductive? I mean, why would anyone in their right mind be concerned that Trump was criticizing America's policy in Iraq? You think the Russians don't know?
Yeah.
Are we the only country in the world that is unaware that everything we did in Iraq was counterproductive? We can't be that stupid, can we?
Well, I guess we just ignore it.
Actually, we are that stupid.
I think it's true.
I talked to an old friend of mine. He's 80, but one of my closest friends, and since I came to California, gave me my first job out here and so forth. And he knows this. He can't understand why they removed all the dictators. We had a long conversation the other night about it, you know. And started off playing, talking about football, and they got to that. And he doesn't understand. Well, why did they do that? And I gave him my 2 cents. But the older generation seems to know. They just don't know what to do. They certainly aren't going to turn to y'all.
No. It's you just realize we are as a people about as lost as you could possibly be. And yet the big issue in America, particularly in our educational circles, is inclusive restrooms.
Yeah.
You know, you need to have a new sign on the restrooms that has the sun ray on it, which is the symbol of man, the Tammuz sign with the plus sign, where the sun crosses the constellation of Taurus the bull on the spring equinox, with the circle of the sun, and then over the left side, just have a question mark, you know, whatever.
I'm sorry. This is just too funny.
We're having that's in Minnesota right now. Nearly a dozen Minnesota families are suing their school district for failing to take action after their daughters were exposed to a transgender male student allegedly twerking. Now I'm not sure I know what twerking is.
Some kind of dancing, I know that, but it's
twerking and engaging in other sexual behavior in a girl's locker room. Twerking, yep. I say
you mean they just let them go in the teacher's lounge?
You can't make this stuff up.
No, this is too absurd. I sometimes wish I was a political cartoonist. You wouldn't have to write anything. You just draw.
No.
what a trip.
Let's not deal with an issue that's important. Let's go expose girls to boys that are so screwed up that they want to become that they want to become girls. Well, today also I don't know. I guess about as frustrated as I could be with our country, with where we have gone as a nation.
When we talked maybe 5 years ago, and we were talking along these lines of what was going to happen, I could foresee escalation in military and all this stupidness, war and everything. It was hard for me to fathom that all these people would go so brain dead in such mass craziness.
Yeah,
and
mass.
We're here.
Mass insanity.
You know, you've been talking about bad drivers and things. I was driving home the other day, and I hadn't noticed it as much. Smaller town, of course, you know, under 100,000. But these people are driving, weaving back and forth in front of me, all texting away, and driving back and forth from line to line to line. And I'm going, I got to get away from this person. So I finally managed to get away from this person, and I got right behind another one doing the same thing.
On a
50-mile-an-hour highway.
Right. Yeah, it has nothing to do with bad driving. It has everything to do with an inability, to be observant and to respond appropriately, to process information, ability to think. And the errors in judgment that people make while driving is so indicative of what's happened in America, where we have dumbed down generation after generation to the point that no one can think. It's just no one can exercise good judgment. And it's a comedy of stupidity out there. You know, I received a phone call yesterday from a good friend that was telling me that he's dating a woman came to him and said, you know, what he needs to do is understand that if he's listening to this crap, that he's really screwed up his life, and that what he needs is to listen to one of Yahweh's, or one of God's, the Lord's prophets, and to learn to speak in tongues, and then he'll be, everything will be okay. And if he was speaking in tongues and listening to one of God's prophets, then he would be, every one of his relationships would be sound. He'd be much richer than he is, and all of these human rewards, which is what, of course, the Pentecostals are telling their flock, so that, you know, you dig into your pocket and give deeply. The more you give to God, the more you're going to get back is their mantra. And so I shared with him something that happened here yesterday. It was on the news. I live in Butler County. And two homes, but the home I spend most time in right now is in Butler County, Ohio. And yesterday in Butler County, Ohio, in 1 hour, there were 7 people who went into a hospital emergency room with an overdose of heroin. And in one day, in this one little quiet county with a church on every corner, mega church on every corner, the kind of probably the ground center for Roman Catholicism in the nation. The only place they could rival it might be Boston. Here in Cincinnati, Ohio, I mean, right in the heart of America, you had 14 overdoses that required immediate medical care for heroin. And you say, okay. So here's the most Christian of communities.
Mm-hmm.
Mega churches, by mega church, we're talking about entire blocks, these mega churches. Mm-hmm. And the Roman Catholic presence here is so overwhelming that they dominate academia and the skyline. And yet it is the single most pervasive place for heroin abuse.
So why do these people want to keep deadening their brain if that's such a
that's my view. It's
a wonderful thing. Yes.
It's such a wonderful thing. And why in this community that never said no to any academic levy that has the schools here are like palaces.
Mm-hmm.
So why, since they have civic centers that would rival most well-endowed colleges and schools that, and there's a early childhood center for this little town that I'm next to that is, it must be, I would say, 300,000 square feet.
Wow.
I mean, it's gorgeous. It's just gorgeous. Fair you enough. Say, you know, spending this kind of money, and what you're doing is you're generating people whose lives are so miserable. They're overdosing and at using heroin.